Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, just talking about Pat's new health trip that he's going to be taking.
Well, I'm taking Chris with me.
Yeah, you got brought into it.
Well, joining me today on the program, of course, is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And Steve Kalaszewski.
Hello, hello.
So glad to have you guys on the program today. God is doing some amazing things. If you missed our earlier program this week, get it at VFNTV.com. Don't forget, you can only hear us, but you can see us, because every program that's on Christian Television Network is also available at VFNTV.com, and you can see how to get there. There's this real old television set on the front of VFNTV.com.
I used to have one like that.
Yeah, and it's actually not out of an old TV like that, but it really definitely brings back some memories of tinfoil and
rabbit ears.
And rabbit ears.
Black and white.
Yeah. Believe it or not, I know this, whatever younger generation may be watching, that I would actually be in the house, and my sister would be, or vice versa, would be on the roof of the house, and we'd be shouting, "Turn it to the left!" What? No, slower.
Right there, don't move.
Oh, great. Only moved it a little bit. That's actually how we used to pick television.
No remote control. Yeah. Get up from the couch, turn the knob, go back to the couch.
Yeah. Well, actually, we were the remote control.
Go
turn the channel.
Yeah. Time to get up. Go change the channel.
Right. I remember the first remote control.
It was terrible.
Yeah, went over to a friend's house.
And you had to start all over again.
Yeah. That's what it does. It would turn a channel clonk.
You couldn't go back.
It had a sledgehammer turning the channel.
It was just one big button.
It was amazing. But it was cool because you could sit there while you go clonk, clonk, clonk. It was just three stations, but it was pretty cool going through those three stations right there.
That's all right.
Well, today we're going to be talking about getting an understanding, remembering the words of Jesus. And as the church, as Christians, which means Christ followers, we're known by we follow Jesus. And Jesus tells us something and we do it. It's written in the Word of God. We read that. We hide His Word in our heart, and we do it. And I know a lot of other things have been taught, but we want to remember the words of Jesus. Peter said, when he was talking to the council in Jerusalem, he says, then I remembered what Jesus said, because he was talking about something very powerful. So we'll be talking about today, because Jesus told those that were with him, I don't want you, when he was leaving, when he was, beginning to be raised from the earth, prior to that, he said, listen, I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I want you to wait. I want you to wait for the promise. And if you've been living a life without fulfilled promises, understand that Jesus says, I got a promise for you. And if in fact you have not yet discovered this promise, you may be in love with God and working really hard for God and these type of things. But the thing is, you're like toting water. I mean, you're doing it yourself, and you're just thinking, I'm so worn out, I'm so tired. And God has given us a promise that gives us power to be able to do what we couldn't do in our own flesh and our own strength. So we'll be talking about that today, and I'm excited about that because it was very important. Peter remembered, and we need to remember, what that is as well. Also, we'll be talking about the book, The Harvest, a book written by Rick Joyner and a new edition that came out, the 20-year edition. The Harvest by Rick Joyner, that you can see it right here. You can see it on your screen. And real good book. The one chapter that we want to talk about, hopefully we'll get to after we talk about the present chapter, is the persecution.
Right.
It's your favorite. I know it's Pat's favorite.
Well, I don't know about that.
As long as it's not warm water persecution.
That's right.
Whip me, beat me,
no warm water.
It's out. That's out. We lost it. And I say knows, man. It's just over as we speak. Right. Also, I want to be able to hear, from your abiding times and what God's saying to you, Steve. And I'm very excited about seeing the goodness of God. I want to encourage all of our listeners and viewers. These are great days because if you've been ministering for quite some time, you've noticed that there's been kind of an unresponsiveness to the gospel like it should be. And as spoken earlier in an earlier program, through some in-depth prayer and study and research, Dutch Sheets found out a word from Chuck Pierce that was given over a certain period of time that America went under a curse for 40 years, mm-hmm. because a judgment for 40 years because of the Roe versus Wade law that was passed in January 1973. Well, that 40 years was up in January 2013, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. which means that was a judgment against signs and wonders. So if you look back at all the things that were happening in America prior to that, mm-hmm. It's 1973. I mean, that was just huge. I mean, it wasn't because somebody was, it was just like God just withdrew for a period of time. And I love the Psalms where he says, God will not be angry forever. He will not hold us. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. Mm-hmm. And thank God, you know, for that. And so we're beginning to see the release of his power. And we're believing with a lot of others that God's about to pour out a third great awakening. Mm-hmm. This week ended, earlier part of this week, the 777, 7 days of prayer that Ann Graham was leading, that God had laid on her heart, and it was amazing. Also, I think we're still in the time of what is take Celebrate America, which is Rodney Howard Brown, mm-hmm. and what's taking place in Washington, D.C. At the Women's Liberty Hall or something of that nature. Mm-hmm. And Dutch Sheets is traveling around the nation, beginning to loose a word of hope over America for the third great awakening. We've been talking about it. So I want you just to, you know, be encouraged, lift up your head, and know that God has good plans in store for those who are his, and that a harvest is going to be coming in so great, so large. You know, I've seen, God has shown me a vision of the harvest that's going to be coming in. He's shown others. He's shown Bob Jones, who's now with the Lord, and a billion souls coming mm-hmm. into the kingdom of God, which means we got to wake up, do like David said, if we had something wrong in our life, you know, ask God, we got to repent for the wrong things in our life. And then say, Lord, if you cleanse me, he said, cleanse me with hyssop. You say, cleanse me with the blood of Jesus and make me right. When I do get right, I will teach other people your ways. So he went from a broken, sinful, disjointed reality to a place of repentance, getting in right relationship with God, to a place of teaching what he knew in God. Because then we tell so many people, you know, because you made a mistake, you can't tell anybody anything about God.
Right.
No, first of all, he's the one that deceived you and got you into this mess in the first mm-hmm. place. And now he's going to try to deceive you to say you can't say what's true about God anymore. Mm-hmm. Your testimony is probably greater than anybody else's because you have that deep history of, yeah, this is who I was, but this is who I am now. I mean, that's why Pat's testimony is so effective because of how, I mean, my testimony is so effective because of how, you know, I guess it's this chair over here because it's the same thing. John and Steve have just perfect lives and all that.
Not so much.
Not so
far
not
from
so
it.
Much.
No. It is God. Okay. And that's okay.
I thought you were going to share anything.
Oh, no. Well, like, it's a huge testimony. Like you're saying. It's just that same testimony. It was just like, not right. the same testimony, but it's just God.
That is not my testimony.
What are you talking about?
Are you supposed to be offended? No. Go ahead.
No, it's just basically, you know, it's the devil's going to lie to you like you're saying, but then he's also going to lie to you just to get you not to tell people how God brought you out of that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly right, man. So what's the Lord saying to you, man? What's the Lord saying to you?
Well, God was just really challenging me. You know, this morning he stopped me in Luke 19 and just giving me that encouragement and that reminder. You know, we've talked about it probably once or twice before, and Jesus had an encounter with a tax collector. His name was...
Haven't we all?
His name was Zacchaeus. Mm-hmm. And you can, you know, remember all the things that happened in the story, and Jesus, or Zacchaeus was a short man. He was a head tax collector and head of the crowd.
Zacchaeus.
I don't know.
That was a different tax collector.
I don't know.
Zacchaeus.
Yes.
The wee little man.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Got him.
But.
The sycamore tree climbing man.
Yes.
Okay.
That guy.
Got it. Okay.
But the one thing that the Holy Spirit stopped me at, what was so significant, was the first line in that story, is that Jesus entered Jericho and he was passing through.
Yes, just passing through.
He was just passing through. And that was a huge thing that was really challenging me. It's just like, it's in those passing through moments when it's those kingdom opportunities that so often that we are like, no, 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 I have to get to my destination. And that has been such a challenge to me, because it's just like, we can get so in task mode and I've got so much to do. And, you know, I'm doing this for the kingdom. I'm doing this for the kingdom. And all the while we're missing the kingdom. We're missing those kingdom moments to love people. But the whole thing was, though, is that the whole reason why Jesus came was for the cross. The whole reason why he came was to stand in the gap, to be crucified. But he never neglected his Father's creation, the sons and the daughters, the men and women to his side that God placed next to him.
Right.
And it's like that moment when it, when the Holy
Spirit said, I've been faithful with those that you entrusted to me.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's just so challenging me. And it's just like, we cannot get past the pace of love. We just can't. We can be doing so many things. And that's the thing. We're doing. We're not loving. And I have a military background too. And the thing that God reminded me about was just like, when you're on a patrol, when you're in a vehicle, you don't just go 65 like you do on a freeway. You take your time and you're watching, you're paying attention. And that's the thing. It's just like, in order for you to see things, you got to slow down. And that's the thing where God was just speaking to me. It's just like, slow down. Love.
Yeah.
Jesus never walked faster than love. Every footstep was at the pace of love. And that so just challenged me, because it's just like, God, I don't want to, you know, forgive me. I just repent for that, because I have just like you can look at like all the things I got to do, but it reminds, you know, we've had many conversations before. It's just like, the more you have to do in a day, or the more the responsibilities or entrustments, that's that much more time you need to spend with God.
Yeah.
Because it's God that's going to give you that grace, and it's going to give you that love to be able to do it. Mm-hmm. Because if we're not loving people, then we're missing it.
You're right. Yeah. It's useless.
Exactly.
If you don't have love, and love is patient, love is kind.
Exactly.
Kind.
Right. Yeah.
Long-suffering.
Yes.
Right. No records of wrongs.
And James says we're a clanging cymbal for now.
Yeah. And that, you know, and one of the recent segments too, is just like, that's the greatest thing of all these things we do. But if we don't love, you know, we're missing the whole thing. And that was the encouraging thing, was that because of how Jesus interacted with others, it empowered them to be able to pick up their own cross. Because Jesus says, if anybody wants to be my disciple, you got to pick up your cross and follow me.
Deny yourself.
Exactly. Deny yourself. Jesus.
Deny your schedule.
I mean, so many of the miracles, salvations, powerful moves that God did through Jesus, that Jesus did, it was on the way.
Right.
Passing through.
Right.
Very few times does it give details of Jesus at his destination. It was while he was going.
And those are the most powerful. Those are the people that want more from God, are the ones that are willing to interrupt what's taking place. Those are the ones that moved him the most.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even people that weren't even the people that he was coming for. When the lady began to worship him and cry out for her daughter, he's like, "But you're not a. I've come to the Jews first." And he's like, "I got to take care of this woman. I got to meet her needs, because she stopped me. The woman with the issue of blood, she stopped me."
Mm-hmm.
You're right. Every single time, those are the big ones.
Exactly.
And most people, they're waiting for the event to take place, and I'm gonna get a front row seat. It's like, you missed it. He was coming in the back door. You could have been there at that moment. You could have been at Mary's house. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Totally awesome. More of a get back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
This is Focus on the Family Minute, and I'm John Fuller. Jill Savage was tempted to tell her friends that her marriage was fine, despite some serious struggles. She found out, though, that being honest about those problems actually encouraged her friends.
I went home that day, and my phone started ringing off the hook of moms that were sitting in that room and saying, "Thank you for being so honest. We're a mess. We're struggling in our marriage. It's a very difficult season for us." And the very thing that I feared would happen, which was that I would lose integrity, actually the opposite happened. I gained integrity with those women because of the willingness to be honest.
We're all longing for authenticity, and God can work powerfully through our weaknesses. You'll find the strength you need to be honest and to have a thriving relationship at FocusOnTheFamily.com/marriage.
Oh my goodness. Listen, man, what the Lord is doing. If you missed, and you've got to catch it in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. You can go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast. I'd like to give a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners that are out there, because that's kind of how we are today. Everybody's so mobile. Things are moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you need to listen to it, and you need to listen to what you need to listen to when you're listening to it. And you can do that by downloading our podcast. Just go to vfntv.com, click on the podcast. Click on the podcast, and you get whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets downloaded in your stuff somehow, and you can play it like you play a record. No, a CD. I'm sorry, a CD.
What's a CD?
Download, I guess. And you can, and it's just really cool because then you have it. Think about this. You know, remember all the years that, buy the tape. We're giving it to you. It's yours. Have it freely.
Free.
You know, freely, the Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to VFNTV.com and download the podcast today. Your future may depend upon it.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Just talking about abiding with the Lord and what God is, you know, sharing with us. For myself, I've been abiding in several areas, but one is Psalms 91. I'm telling you. That is where you need to hang right now. You need to really spend part of your abiding time and go where God leads you. But understanding the whole psalm begins with "He that abides." Think about it. Under the shadow of God. He that abides. And that's why we always talk about abiding, because you'll be protected. You'll be safe. And he talks about all these fowler snares, which is, you know, nets scattered on the ground for you just to land them, jerk it, and all of a sudden your enemy takes you down. Listen, you got enemies. I mean, if you walk with God, you got enemies, and you got enemies that don't know they're your enemies. And they're being used, like Peter was being used, to try to put a snare in Jesus's path. They'll go to Jerusalem. I mean, you got to be, but God just protects you from all that. If you abide with him, he protects you from that. Deadly pestilence, you know, attacks in the daytime, attacks in the nighttime. He keeps your feet from smashing stones. I mean, he does all these different things that he does. And he rescues you because you love him. And this is a day we have to understand. But it's the faith in knowing that God, what he says is true. What he says he'll do, he'll do. It's not just like, well, I read it and I hope it works. If you have no faith, that means you have no shield, because your faith is your shield. That's what empowers the word of God in your life, that when you read the word of God, you hide it in your heart and you believe what you read and you hold on to the fact it's like, hey, I abide with God. I'm protected. You know, he's got me up under his wing. I'm up under the wing of God, Steve. Think about it.
Yeah.
I'm a wingman. I'm up under the wing of God. But think about it.
That's cool.
And if you're abiding with Jesus Christ, and if you don't have an abiding plan, we have one for you at iabide.org. You can say that you're a wingman, you're a wing woman, wing son, wing daughter, because you're under the wing of God. And remember, God created the birds. He created us. He created, when you hear these wings, I mean, think of it in the context of some, you know, think of it as protection of God, the arm of God. I mean, think about the four living creatures that are covered in wings, you know, before the throne of God, and they're crying out, holy and holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. These wings of God are just covering you. You're protected. I mean, think about a mother hen after she gathers her chicks. She puts them up under her wings, and you can't find them anymore. All you're doing is just seeing the hen there. Mm-hmm. Because she gathered them up under her wings. And I want to encourage you, get into Psalms 91 and begin to take it really slow. Don't read it rapidly. Just read a couple of verses, write them down in your journal, and begin to, look up a few definitions of what those words mean and understand, my goodness, there's so many different ways God is going to protect me from deadly pestilence. When people, some of the prophetic words are that, disease is going to come and things are going to happen that bring in plagues and whatever. But he says in Psalms 91 that he'll protect you from that. Mm-hmm. He'll protect you from that. And so you can say, you know what, I'm going to get it and hold on to the word of God. And I think about just yesterday on the radio when John was talking about that Fox News interview with the lady who's protecting the lady with the baby. Yeah. She goes, well, Jesus. She stood by faith and held back that adversary that was coming. You got to see that. You got to VFNTV.com on the torch and see it. But understand that this is the God that we serve. He knows those who are his. So you can't say you are. I mean, you are. If mm-hmm. you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, and you've repented, you say, Lord, I'm here. And then you can know God is going to protect me. This is one thing. This is one way he does it. He gives you wisdom. He gives you wisdom on how to take this next step. And if you're abiding with him, he's going to speak to you in that abiding moment and throughout that day. And he'll say, take a left here. Do this. Don't do that. Invest here. Don't invest there. Hold back on this. Get that. He tells you what he's leading you. He's not ordering. He's leading you what to do. And that's how he protects you. Some people, have been sold a bill of goods that says you can be in rebellion. You can not even spend any time with Jesus, who you profess is your Lord. And he's just going to supernaturally protect you. Mm-hmm. Protection comes when stop signs go up. Now you can go through the intersection without dying. Well, if you're going to drive through an intersection and say that has no signage at all and saying God's going to protect me, he's going to say, no, you didn't listen to wisdom. Wisdom mm-hmm. says, put up a stop sign, put up mm-hmm. a yield sign.
But then you got to pay attention to it.
Yeah. And then, the signs are meant to point to something.
That's right.
And so then you have to pay attention. So this whole thing is about a relationship with him. And so it's not like, okay, I got to hang out with God because he's going to give me the rules and I'll survive. It's like, no, he just loves you. And you're to love him, and together you're going to stroll in this journey, this garden of the earth, and you're going to talk about your day. He's going to talk about his. He's going to share with you, what needs to happen, what is a good way to be able to take this next thing in your life or what's going on. And it's pretty amazing. And we're here today because of his voice.
That's right.
And the things that we've been sharing with you is because God shared them with us.
Mm-hmm.
And he has an endless reservoir of secrets of his heart and of his word. And it's just very, very exciting to be able to share what God is saying. What's the Lord been saying to you?
Well, like I've been sharing the last several days, I've been really, really soaking in the harvest. Mm-hmm. And I was just recently looking at...
And the Harvest is a book written by Rick Joyner, Prophetic Word.
Correct. And this is a vision that God had given him over a 12-month period back in 1987.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it's come to pass, and a lot of it hasn't yet.
We're right in the middle of it.
We're right in the middle of it.
If you want to read about your life, that's a good time.
It's amazing. And what was also interesting is at the time when God gave him this vision, it was right prior to that, the Lord basically got onto him because he was right in the middle of this business venture mm-hmm. And God basically told him, he says, look, if you don't come now, I'm going to give your commission to somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, oof. that's
a check.
That big time.
The Lord just confirmed that this morning. It was just letting me know that somebody didn't say yes to him about an opportunity.
Oh, wow.
And it's now going to the next. And the Lord reminded me when Reinhard Bonnke was talking to God about Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going, dear God, thank you that you would chose me to be minister in Africa.
Yeah.
And he goes, you were my third choice. The other two turned it down.
I know.
Wow. And I just know of somebody right now that have turned down an opportunity and God's going to go to the next.
To the next. That's
to
right.
The next. And to live eternity knowing that, what was I doing? Was I thinking about an ant, just nothing?
Exactly.
Was I thinking about myself? I missed opportunity.
Yeah.
And Jesus moves on. This is what he says.
That's right.
He says, you know, he that puts his hands to the plow and looks back is not even worthy of the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about that. So, I mean, you got to follow God. And yeah.
Yeah. I know. I couldn't live with myself. There's just no way. And what's beautiful in this chapter, preparing for the harvest, he begins to basically breaks down the whole process of seed time and harvest, which really reminded me of a lot of things that we've talked about over the years. And he talks about just as a farmer does not plant a seed and then stand there and wait for the fruit, you know, these will have the wisdom to plant, knowing that the result of his labor may not be for a long time and may not see them at all. Some will plant, but others will water, but God will give and receive the increase. And he talks about even science verifies what the Lord's statement, that the seed cannot sprout unless it first dies and goes through a dormant period.
Right, you're in chapter 2 of that.
This is chapter 2, correct. And he says, God created this protective mechanism in the seed that keeps it from sprouting until conditions are right for growth.
Mm.
In order for it to sprout, a seed must have the proper amount of water, heat, and light.
All three of these things have to be just right.
Not just two of them or one of them, all three of them have to be present. He says, this is to keep the seed from being fooled into thinking it is spring because of the wet and warming trend.
And we see what happens when seed does that. You see when things bloom ahead of time, it gets confused.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it just blooms and then dies off and it misses a whole season.
Right, right. And wow. It dies, mm-hmm. Yeah, basically. And then he says, this is to keep the seed from being fooled, right? And if these are not accompanied with enough light each day, the seed knows that spring has not fully come. So the seed actually knows what's going on.
Wow.
And the same thing is true in the spiritual seeds. You know, we may want to see immediate results from our preaching, our witnessing, the things that we're doing, because we're this instant generation, you know. But he says, but the Lord will protect the seeds until the conditions are right for growth. Spiritual seeds require the same basic conditions as natural seeds, water, heat, and light. Water speaks of the word of God, which there must be an abundance. Heat speaks of circumstances. Most have to be in a fire of trials before they'll turn to the Lord.
Mm.
You know how many times we've seen that? A lot of us ourselves, mm-hmm. You know, it was the fire of our circumstances that caused us to come to him.
Yeah. God speak to me before I kill someone. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I remember
usually
that.
Yeah, that's exactly where God found me. I was like right in between that moment of just like
it was pretty hot, wasn't it?
That was the hottest moment of my life.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And he spoke.
And it was all God.
So much you were seeing red.
Yeah. I shut down. And that's the thing. It's just like so many are trying to avoid that heat moment, that mm-hmm. hardship. But that's the whole moment that God has set up in your life to see if you'll reach out to him and find out that it was all about him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, make sure you get, hopefully there's a related link with Steve's testimony, powerful testimony of what took place at that moment.
Right.
So of course, water's the word,
heat is circumstances, and the light speaks of divine revelation, which enables us to realize this is God who's speaking to me right now through these words and these circumstances.
Not something else.
No, exactly. So all three have to be present.
Yeah.
So when you're planning and you're witnessing to somebody constantly, and nothing seems to be happening.
Yeah.
Well, because they're not done yet.
Right.
There's not enough heat. There's not enough circumstances yet for it to bloom yet.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But don't give up. Just keep watering it.
Right. Guard that seed. Understand that your whole life may be to plant seed and protect it.
Yeah.
On somebody's life.
And you may never see the harvest. It may be for somebody else
right.
to reap it.
That's exactly right. And the thing is to be faithful with your season, what God's called you to do, to be able to do that. And we'll be back after this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Those who claim that your ministry is intolerant and may even threaten the freedom of others.
Freedom is fragile and costly and must be defended by work and by faith and even by blood.
Now, your ministry reaches more people than the evening news, and I need you to get up there and announce that you fully support this bill.
I cannot water down the gospel to advance anybody's political agenda.
Let's talk about persecution, it's going to die. And who's going to be left standing? You are.
You cannot legislate the power of God.
He's not on board.
Mr. Luther, do you mind if we get a picture of my daughter?
Big smile. Excellent.
The girl is dead, John. They're saying that you killed her.
I didn't kill anybody.
They're watching for you.
I didn't know where else to go.
You're going to be charged with first-degree murder.
I just want to see justice served.
I need your help.
Your husband is a fugitive.
He is coming home to this family.
I have a dream to unite the traditions of faith with one voice.
The arms of God aren't as far away as you might think.
Mr. President,
John Luther is entirely your misfortune.
People are looking for a symbol. We'll get back up when they're knocked down.
Get your people out there and do so quietly.
They can't silence the truth.
Sometimes in a war, there's collateral damage for the greater good.
In you, I put my trust. If there's any iniquity in my hands, let my enemy pursue me and overtake me. Let him trample my life into the earth. If you take away a man's right to speak his mind in a country founded on that very principle, you don't really have a country now, do you?
I want to encourage you, if you have a Christian business, you have any business, and you want to stand with us, we really want to get together with you. We love promoting those that love to stand for God, country, and Israel, and we want to give you that opportunity to do so. And we also want you, like you were talking about, you know, a little while ago, Greg, to visit some of our sponsors. These are wonderful people. I got a chance to meet all of them and meet with them and know their heart. But we have sponsors. If you need a vehicle, you can visit Glenn Parker. I mean, if you're looking to rent or buy a home, you want to talk to Mark Downey. I mean,
Mark Downey Associates. He is the man and his team.
Yeah, they're excellent. You have a great meal. You want to go visit Auntie's out in Cantonment. Ooh, barbecue.
The taste of Southern soul.
There's so many wonderful places and so many great sponsors.
Her food is so good. I was sitting there having her food. I could tell you. This man came in, he's going to have his first ribs off of her smoker. And I said, I looked at him, remember? And I said, can I watch you take your first bite? Right?
Yeah.
And I turned my head and I missed his first bite. But he came back later and he says, they was good. That's Auntie's, right?
Auntie's.
Off of Highway 29.
A taste of Southern soul. And we want to encourage you today. Listen, the Lord is a faithful Father. He is hope and love himself. He's compassionate, he's gracious, he's full of mercy, and although he is sharing with us and letting us know that, listen, judgment is upon us, if we repent, if we cry out to him, if we seek him and humble our ways and acknowledge, Lord, we have sinned before you, things can turn. Mm-hmm. Things can turn. Things don't have to happen. And that is our desire and that is our hope.
Right, and that's why it's so important to partner with us, so we can continue to be that trumpet, that clearing call.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Partner. We have all different ways how you can do that just by going to VFNTV.com. We have worked very hard to try to put things together in a way that you can easily find it. There's ways for you to partner as a sponsor. There's ways for you to partner as an underwriter. Just go to VFNTV.com and you'll see the torch on the right hand in the center of the page. And you'll be able to follow, has some hands around the torch. Mm-hmm. That's your hands. That's our hands. That's all of us holding the torch together so that we can continue to keep the light in this dark world and so that others can come and be informed and grow in the things of God. Listen, we can do this when we have our eyes focused on Jesus and on him alone and when we have our ears attentive to his very word.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Imagine this. I got a question that I'm going to ask, and I'm going to answer it. Is can you truly let go I mean, think about this. Can you truly let go and trust the leadership of God's Spirit in your life? Yes. But really, there's folks right now that may never know that you actually can let go and you can trust, you can totally let go and trust the leadership of God's Spirit in your life. It's an amazing thing. I mean, just so much stress is off of your life when you're actually like, I'm not leading this thing. God's leading this. Yeah, I'm being faithful with the mundane things. I'm taking care of what God says. I'm spending time abiding with Him, but He's leading me. Mm-hmm. Or another one is it possible for God to lead us in His plans without us knowing what those plans are? You missed it. The camera was on me and not them. They're like, yes true. He can. Yes. To our amazement, my brain was not used at
not
all.
What's in that going whatsoever.
It's so, you know, it's exciting to find out. Like,
God.
Yeah, right.
It was God.
I'm really not that smart.
Yeah, right. And so the question, you know, I mean, you think about this. And an example, you know, I want to talk about two particular men. One man, was in the military. He was potentially Italian. He was over an Italian regiment. He had 100 men that he was over and responsible for. He wasn't a Jew, but he was a devout man who loved God, who prayed on a regular basis, and he was very kind and giving always to the poor and meeting the needs of others, and he was just a very godly man, but he wasn't a Jew. And then this other man's name is Peter, and Peter was a fisherman, a Jew, who Jesus called to be his disciple and led him to himself. And when Jesus went to go be with the Father, he sent Peter with the other disciples to this particular place in Jerusalem. He said, I want you to wait for the promise. And then when Jesus got to heaven, the release of the promise came on where they were. You can read about it in Acts chapter 2. And all of a sudden, the church was birthed. Well, you had these two different men. They didn't necessarily know each other because actually it was illegal. A religious law was illegal for the Jew, which would be Peter, to even have anything to do with this centurion, which his name was Cornelius, because he was a Gentile. He was a non-Jew. So it was illegal for them to even have a relationship, to hang out with each other or anything of that nature. And at this point, when you look at it from Peter's perspective, because now he's a Christian, he's a Messianic believer, that he feels at this point that basically only the Jews can be saved. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, this faithful non-Jewish centurion regiment leader named Cornelius was in his home, and his family was devout towards God and his friends. I mean, if you're going to hang with him, I mean, he's a man of authority. He understood the things of God. He just had a passion for God. He was respected amongst the Jews. And but one day, because just the suddenly, and I want you to just start expecting suddenlies in your life. You know, so many people focus on trying to make a suddenly happen, realize just be prepared at any moment and any time that a suddenly can happen. This is what happened. Just suddenly, one day, he had a vision and an angel showed up. And an angel showed up and said, listen, that all your prayers and your giving to the poor and your faithfulness, you know, has come up as a memorial offering before God. Think about that. That in so many people, the enemy just attacks you and say, you know, you've been giving God, honoring him with his tithes and offerings, and you're giving to the poor, and the enemy's told you that, you know, what difference is it making? It's making a huge difference, because it was this very thing that came up as a memorial before God, and God's like, man, I want to bless Cornelius. I'm gonna bless him. So he sent an angel to this man's house, which was illegal for Peter to even go to. So he's having this encounter with God. And if you would have asked Peter at this moment and the other apostles, could Cornelius even have an encounter with God? They would go, obviously not. He's unclean. Right. He's impure. You know, he's a Gentile.
Right.
But that's not what was happening. God was just focusing in on this Gentile, this non-Jewish man, because of his faithfulness. He said, those that love God and are obedient to him, he knows that God recognizes them. And so at the same time, the angel says, listen, when I'm out of here, I want you to send men over to Simon the Tanner's house. He's living on the side of the water out there, and there's a guy staying there. His name is Peter. I want you to send for him and tell him, you know, I asked you to come and speak to you. And so immediately, as soon as the angel leaves, Cornelius, who is a military man, he had people around him. He obviously moved in authority. And he said, you know, you three come here. And one of them was a soldier that served him, as well as two servants. And he said, this is what I want you to do. This is what happened. I want you to go to Simon Tanner's house. I want you to find Peter there, and I want you to tell him what happened. Ask him to come. And right there in America, that pretty much stopped.
Right.
You're going to tell me what to do. What are you doing telling me what to do? We hired you around. You don't be telling me what's going on. Sending me where? Or secondly, they would be going like, I don't know. Can I go to Simon Tanner's house? Is it okay to go over there? And besides, I might lose my job. If I lose my job, this might not be. And let me just get a partner base. If I get a partner base and write some letters to let people and let them know that I'm going to go over to Simon Tanner's house. I mean, it's all these reasons. Like, I need to verify. I didn't hear from God myself, or therefore it can't be God, you know, even though I've been watching this man, you know, walk with God and serve God or whatever. I need to hear myself. I mean, that's what's a lot. That's pretty much, you'd probably hear a lot of that in America, right?
Yeah.
It wouldn't come over that way. They would just go, I'm going to pray about it.
They're right.
That's how it's interpreted. And so, but that didn't happen because this was a man of authority. And it makes me think of the centurion that Jesus saw when he had a servant that was sick, and he went to Jesus and said, listen, can you pray for my servant because he's sick? And Jesus says, yes, I'll go. And he goes, oh, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. I mean, my goodness, you're the Son of God. Listen, I myself am a man under authority. I got people over me and I got people under me. I tell one to go and he goes. I tell one to come and he comes. And Jesus goes, Mike, I haven't seen such great faith in all of Israel.
Right.
Why? Because he understood authority. He knows that Jesus is one in authority, under authority, and he did exactly what the Father told him to do. He didn't even do his own, it's whatever God told him to do, he did it. And the thing was to be around Jesus. When Jesus commands us to do something, we just do it. And that was happening with this centurion when he had three servants and he just said, listen, go. And they went. Imagine if we just start hearing and obeying.
Mm-hmm.
This is how God works. Understand at this point, Cornelius has no idea what's about to happen.
Nope.
He's just somebody that loves God and honors God and he obeys God. Peter doesn't know what's going to go on. As a matter of fact, if you ask Peter at this point, Peter would be telling you that's never going to happen, not in my lifetime.
Right.
Yeah, I think he had a few issues down the road about sitting at tables. But anyway,
yeah, he did.
But even he would tell you because God has not let Peter in on what he was going to do fully. Cornelius is just excited because an angel showed up and has talked to him.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really going to happen in the context of this thing is very, very powerful. And so as they're going, as these three men are going, now as they're going, think about it, as they're obeying God, God begins to speak to Peter. And when we get back from this break, we're going to find out what he said.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
God is doing some amazing, amazing things. If you missed our earlier program, you need to get a perspective of a crying out for justice with Pastor Saeed. Remember, we're four programs back to back. If you missed any, you can catch them at VFNTV.com, download our app or whatever. But we want to keep in a continual conversation with you with that because we got to have a perspective. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news that you know. The reason why is because God's going to hold you accountable.
Mm.
God is going to hold each of us accountable. We stand alone before God. And that's how you can just be confident that you're just doing what you can with what God has entrusted to you. and you're being faithful. And one thing that we want to do, and the Lord's really spoken to us about this, that, you know, stay in relationship with us. We'll stay in relationship with you as long as the Lord will allow us, and say, you know what, let's continue this broadcast around the nation and around the world. But he's shown us some very hopeful things. And if we will trust him in this, and if we will believe him and begin to speak these things out while getting our heart, it's not like a default setting, like we can stay in rebellion and stay in sin and continue to, you know, all these wrong things, mm-hmm. and it's going to happen. But if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and repent and turn and pray to God, he says, listen, he'll hear and he'll change things. And I believe he's going to change things regionally. He's going to change things state by state. So you can be in a state that's lost their state of mind, the original intent, or you can be in a city that's lost their state of mind, and you can say, you know what, this particular city is like the city that Lot was in, so I'm going to find me another city under a man or a woman of God who loves God, who hears from God, and I'm going to plant myself right there, and that's where me and my family are going to sow. We're going to be faithful to God. We're going to pray God for that, pray that God would cover us in the context of that and speak to us, and we're going to obey God in that. And maybe the VFM Dream Center is for you. Maybe the VFM Dream Center is for you. Truly, loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same. Our hope, and we are hearing the Lord, as many are, and our goal is just to communicate that to you so you could be all that God has called you to be. And find out more at VFNDreamCenter.com, VFNDreamCenter.com for more details on that. You can join us virtually or join us on the Gulf Coast. We are located in the Pensacola area, but also reaching around the nation and the world with, it's exciting.
It's exciting.
It's exciting what God is doing. We call it the dream because it's what God said, and we're just doing what he said, and it's amazing how that's taken. That's why we're here. That's why we're here talking to you right now. God said it. We're just doing it.
That's right.
Just doing what God said.
And you know, Pat, I abide. You abide?
Oh, yeah.
Steve, do you abide?
Oh, yeah.
I abide. You abide. Steve abides. We all abide together. We want to encourage you to abide along with us.
I think Chris does, too.
And I think Chris does, too. He's shaking over there.
We got a smile.
He doesn't have a mic. Oh, he's jumping. He abides, too. And I know Greg abides. Listen, join us in abiding. We talked about how you can get a free, simple plan. Go to iabide.org, select get your free plan today, and when you begin to abide, we want to hear what the Lord is saying to you. Contact us. Of course, you can always follow us on Facebook and go to vfntv.com to find different ways that you can connect with us and with the program, and we want to hear what God is saying. There's so many abiders right now, and God's saying so many wonderful things. Children are hearing from God, and they're journaling what God is speaking to them in the Word. And
with
that
crayons.
Is beautiful. Crayons, pens, markers, you name it. They're just writing it down. And God's speaking to them, giving them dreams. And it's like, wow, very good. So the Spirit knows no age. You know that? Spirit knows no age.
Nope.
And when God wants to speak, he will definitely speak.
Anyway, first of all, I do want to say that I remember borrowing your bicycle once. I think it was your trike.
Really?
And yep. He had a seat. The seat was about the size of the ruler they gave you in the first grade.
How do you sit on that?
I don't.
I'm telling you, man.
I hover over it.
I'm thinking, I got on this thing and I made it maybe about 10 feet. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what's happened to me? I'm thinking... But I started thinking back. I never sat on a ruler before. That wasn't what I was done. We had like banana seats and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Remember those.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm thinking, how can this man sit on the seat? And I thought, wow, I am such a wimp. I couldn't make it all the way around the block, you know, with that. And I'm thinking, wow. And people do ride on those seats, don't they? Did they?
Yeah.
No, it was like a ruler turned sideways. It wasn't even a width of a ruler. It was really bad, and I just want to say that if you want to plenty of fruit in your life, you probably don't want those kind of seeds.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host,
Greg Lancaster.
So you think about it. Here, Cornelius and his three obedient servant soldiers are going out because God said it. Cornelius repeated it. He sent these three men out to go to where God told them to go. And Peter don't even know they're coming yet. Peter's just hanging out over at Simon's house. You know, Simon and Simon. You know, think about it.
He's up on the roof getting a tan. Yeah.
Well, you know, he is actually over there at Simon's house. This guy's a tanner. And tanner, you think about a tanner. The one takes the skins of animals and pulls them out and puts them in the sun and all those different things. And so he's hanging out at a house. So let's get past that. He's at a house. And he goes on the roof to pray. And as he's going on the roof to pray, he gets hungry. And so they're fixing him something to eat. And that's a long process, by the way, when you don't have a refrigerator. Do you want to eat that one or this one? Because you got to kill it, clean it.
Let me know. I've got to prepare it.
Yeah, and besides, I can use the skins. Anyway, so while he's on the roof, and he's physically hungry, but as he's praying and kind of probably in and out a little bit, all of a sudden he just falls into a trance. Peter falls into a trance, and God begins to speak to him, and this is how he speaks to him. Now, understand now, Peter don't know what's going on. Cornelius don't know what's going on. These three men going don't know what's going on. God knows exactly what he's doing, and everybody knows in part and prophesies in part, but God knows it all. But what you do is you have these people who obey God, and God's will is being fulfilled. And so he has this trance, and all of a sudden in this vision, this trance, a sheet gets lowered down from heaven, and inside the sheet it has a lot of what was considered unclean animals, and the law said don't even eat these animals. And all of a sudden this voice comes and says, you know, get up, kill them and eat them. And Peter goes, I've never done that, Lord. I've never eaten these unclean animals. And then the voice comes back a second time and says, don't you ever call anything unclean that God has made clean. Mm-hmm. And it was like, that's huge. Mm. And this happened three times. But you know what? Peter still don't even know what God's going to do. All he knows is that my whole life I lived in thinking that this is impure and that's not impure. This is unclean and this is not unclean. But if God calls something clean, I got to change my paradox. Even if the law says that this person's unclean, that's not how God sees it. And so as he's wondering, you know, he's sitting on the roof and he's wondering about, you know, what does all this mean? What's going on right here? See, he still doesn't know. These men come up to the house and they're about to start shouting out for his name. And suddenly, as he's thinking now, he went from wondering to thinking about what God had said to him in this vision. The Lord says, the Spirit of God says, there's three men coming. They're going to ask you to go with them. Don't hesitate. I want you to go with them. I mean, it was that quickly. All of a sudden they cry out. They go, hey, you know, is Peter here? And he goes, yeah, he's here. He invites the unclean, formerly unclean folks into his house, which obviously his paradox has changed. And so he only knows that these three men have come for him at that last moment and second, and he brought them into the house, and they're no longer unclean because God is saying, I've sent these people to you. This is what you're supposed to do and go with them. And so now here they are eating together, and they're about to go to another Gentile's house, Cornelius's house, and they tell what they knew, all they knew was an angel showed up and said that you're going to tell us something. That's it. And so the next day they take off, and Peter takes about six men with him that were in Joppa, and that's where he was, I believe. And he went over to Caesarea where Cornelius was at. And as soon as they get there, Cornelius falls on the ground at Peter's feet and begins to, you know, like, oh, holy word. And Peter's like, get off the ground. Oh my goodness. I'm a man like you. Right. What are you doing? But it shows you, even though he was a man in authority, he was very humble and very open and very wanting whatever God had to offer. Mm-hmm. So then Peter asks this question. He says, well, first of all, he says, you know, it's illegal for me to be here. He still doesn't even know yet. God knows now, but Peter doesn't know. It's illegal for me to be here. How many people would be so offended? If you bring up I'm unclean one more time, I'm out of here. Right. If you bring up my fallen nature, I'm out of here. It's like, this guy's saying, it's illegal for me to be here, but God's told me to be here, so I'm going to be here. Mm-hmm. And not to call anything unclean that he's made clean. Mm. But then he says, well, tell me what happened then. Why did you bring me here, Cornelius? And so again, Cornelius repeats the encounter again. How many people have gotten tired of telling their testimony? And it's like, what do you had an encounter with God and you're tired of telling about it?
Right.
We're talking about Cornelius' testimony now. Mm-hmm. Never stop getting tired of telling folks what God did. And so he's saying specifically, he's like, this is what happened. The angel appeared and he said that you're gonna tell us some stuff. So I sent the guys to go get you and here you are. Here we are, and he invited his friends and his family there that was Cornelius did, and they're all just sitting there with their hands crossed. You imagine their hands in the lap going, okay, tell us, Peter, whatever God commanded you to tell us. In the presence of God, tell us. And so Peter, thinking, oh, I guess I'll just preach what I my standard message that I preach when I go out, you know, which we need to get back to, which he preached the gospel. He said, God's commanded us to go about. You know about this Jesus. He began to talk to Cornelius as if Cornelius already knew about Jesus, because he did. But he had yet to make Jesus the Lord of his life, because obviously it wasn't presented to him yet. But he talked as if Cornelius knew. And so here's Peter's like, okay, I'm going to preach. And he starts preaching the gospel. You know, God sent his son. He lived amongst us. He healed all that were oppressed of the devil. And God has raised him from the dead. And now he sits at the right hand of the Father, and now he's commanded us to go and tell other. And right in the middle while he's talking, God interrupted him and did what he planned to do all along. He baptized Cornelius and his household and his family with the power of the Holy Spirit. He baptized them in the Holy Spirit. I mean, right in the middle of his message, God's plan was revealed that he is going to save the Gentiles. It's not just the Jews, but it's also the Gentiles who can be saved. The non-Jews can be saved too. So the six guys that are with Peter, they're going like, my goodness, these guys are filled with the Holy Spirit and they're speaking in tongues just like we did.
Yeah.
They're just like us. And Peter's like, who am I to get in the way of that? And he commanded that they be water baptized. Two different ones, right?
That's right.
The first one, they were baptized by Jesus, to their surprise, to Cornelius' surprise, to the three men's surprise, to the family's surprise, to Peter's surprise, to the three, six witnesses that came from Joppa who were Christians as well, to their surprise. But God says, this is what I'm going to do. And what's so cool is you had all these people who follow God, and they were willing to follow God without knowing all the details. Mm-hmm. Because if God told us all the details, we'd probably mess it up. If he would have told Peter the details, Peter would have probably started like calling Jerusalem. Hey, there's a Gentile want me to swing out to his house and preach the gospel, but we know, can we get like a stamp of approval for this? You know, I mean, all kinds of things have been going on. They want to know the end from the beginning. How's this thing going to work out? And will I lose my job? And it's like, no, they just went. And when they did that, they found out that God chose to save Gentiles. This is how they found out. They didn't know he was going to save the Gentiles, non-Jews, until Cornelius first saw the angel. They didn't know when they sent them into Joppa. They didn't know when Peter had the vision. They didn't know when they were coming back to Cornelius' house. They didn't know when Cornelius told Peter what happened. They didn't know when Cornelius talked about, here we are in the presence of God, tell us what God's commanded you to do. And when Peter was preaching, he didn't know. You know what he didn't know? He didn't know that God was going to save the Gentiles. And how did they find out? Because Jesus baptized them in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in a heavenly language, speaking in tongues. That's how they knew. Mm-hmm. And a long story short, they carried that all the way to Jerusalem. They were upset with them at first, but when they told them exactly what happened, they said, who are we to get in the ways of God? Peter said, when this happened at Cornelius' house, I remember what Jesus said. This is what he said. John the Baptist baptized you with water, but I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and power. I want to encourage you, don't shut the door to the very one who opened the door to us to get into the kingdom of God. It was because of the Spirit of God that the Gentiles came in. How in the world now are Gentiles saying, I'm not even going to let the Holy Spirit in my church,
right?
If that is. So I want to encourage you, let's remember the ways and the words of God. And yes, you can follow God. You can let go, follow him, and not, you know, in all the details, and his will be fulfilled. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.